Thank you, choir. Please pray with me. Lord, we do rejoice that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one who paid the price for our sins, the one who gains us entrance into heaven. Lord, thank you for bringing us here this day, so that we could set aside this time and this place to focus ourselves on you, so that we could celebrate Leo's entrance into your family through baptism, so we could remember our own entrance into your family through our baptism and through our confession of sins and acceptance of Jesus as our Savior. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to draw near to you in faith. Lord, please strengthen those who follow you. Please strengthen those who rejoice in their salvation from sin. And please bring to our minds those persons who have not yet come to know you. Help us to pray for them. Please bring them to repentance and salvation so that they too might come to know you as their Lord. We think about the people sitting around us, in front of us and behind us and beside us, and we ask that you bless each one. You know what's in their hearts and on their minds. You know what they struggle with in their lives, and we ask that you empower them by your Spirit and provide for them all that they need. For those who are suffering, dear Lord, please bless them. For those who are sick, we ask that you help and heal them and provide the medical care that they need. For those who are struggling with decision or overwhelmed with grief, we ask for your healing hand to be upon them and provide them comfort and your peace that passes understanding. For those of us who are uncertain about our faith, help us to make the decision to take a chance on you and your word. Lord, please help us to humble ourselves when we don't understand the situations in our lives, the ways our loved ones are acting, what you are doing, or your plan and purpose for us. Help us to know what to do. Help us to trust in your word. Please give us your peace to bring us through the storms of life. And we ask, Lord, that you be with believers all around the world who worship with us this day. For the missionaries, for those who live in oppressive countries whose governments punish them for loving you. Be with those who suffer for their faith in you. In the midst of tragedies we hear about in the news, please be with the people involved. Please be with, bring salvation to those who are separated from you. And please bring honor and glory to your name. Wonderful God, please bless the leaders of our country and the people around your world to turn to you for your peace and your justice and your guidance in their lives. We continue to pray that you bless the land of Israel and the land around Israel with peace. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name. And bless us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue in our worship, we have given of ourselves through our songs and through our prayers, through this early part of worshiping God. Let us continue to worship God with the giving of our tithes and our offerings. As the ushers come forward to receive your tithes and offerings, know that your generous gifts are a reflection of God's generous gift to each of us through his Son, Jesus, and through all of the ways he abundantly provides for us. Your generous gifts and offerings and tithes, whether they're here or online, give this congregation an opportunity to extend the reach of Jesus beyond our walls. Will the ushers please come forward? Lord, we do praise you and we give you thanks Thank you for all of the abundance with which you have blessed us. Thank you for the loved ones gathered around us. Thank you for these tithes and these offerings, which give us the opportunity to extend your love and graciousness to all people with whom we cross our paths. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you and put you first and celebrate our place in your church. And thank you mostly for Jesus, who loves us, who strengthens us, who provides for us, and who helps us to keep our eyes on the prize of heaven. Thank you for all these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it's more than just the original 12. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, but whoever rejects you rejects me, but whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we are at our fifth week in our series called Take a Chance on God. And over these weeks, we've looked at the results of people's faith in God and their willingness to take a chance on obeying God. We've seen how relevant the Bible is for us today when we choose to take a chance on obeying God and trust God in a gamble that we cannot lose. Today we examine the results of the faith of the disciples, those men whom Jesus handpicked to be his closest companions. Now, Jesus' disciples were students who received on-the-job training on how to live into God's plan for their lives. They were very different men from different walks of life, and Jesus taught them all about God's love, God's forgiveness, mercy, and God's righteous, holy justice. Jesus' expectation of these disciples is that they would continue the work that Jesus was doing and teaching them to do. That's true for us too. We are the disciples now, and we receive on-the-job training on how to live into God's plan for our lives. We don't learn everything about the Bible and serving God before we begin serving Jesus. We learn as we go. In today's scripture, Jesus sent out 72 disciples. These disciples included the 12 disciples who we always hear about.
And Jesus instructed all of these disciples to tell people that the kingdom of God was near. Jesus also gave them the power to perform miracles. Jesus wanted his disciples to be fully equipped to carry on the message that he was teaching and that he was living. Jesus knew that one day he would be gone, and he wanted the disciples to begin to have an eye toward the future. He wanted those disciples to be fully equipped before he ever left to do the work that he called for them to do. Jesus is God. He knows the future. Jesus knew that there would be days of trouble. He knew that there would be times of fear for these disciples. He wanted the disciples to begin to look beyond their immediate needs and desires. Jesus wanted the disciples to look beyond their victories and the reasons they had to celebrate, and for the disciples to begin to look forward to their eternal future in heaven with Jesus. Jesus wanted the disciples to be making sure that people knew that there was more to life than what was right in front of them. Luke chapter 10, verse 20 was a caution and a warning from Jesus to the disciples. That verse is still a caution and a warning to us today. Jesus said, "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus also said, and I quote, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few," unquote. Before we look at this, we have to understand that when Jesus speaks of the harvest, he's talking about people who are ready to hear and receive the good news of Jesus' salvation. When Jesus speaks about the workers, he's talking about those people, those disciples, who are ready and willing to share Jesus' message of salvation. We're the disciples today. We are the workers. The harvest is still plentiful. We are the workers. We are the ones who Jesus calls to be about the work of telling people that it is only Jesus who can grant us salvation and entrance into heaven when we die.
Amen.
Because we have accepted Jesus' offer of salvation, God has already equipped us with the Holy Spirit to provide everything we need to continue telling people about Jesus and to continue living for Jesus, no matter what the day brings. Jesus still helps us like he helped the first disciples. And we can stand on the promise and the reality that because of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, Jesus helps us to live anticipating an amazing and victorious future of eternity in heaven with God. We talked about Elijah last week. Elijah chose to take a chance on obeying God. Elijah kept his eyes on the prize in heaven for his faithful obedience to God. And we learned that God rewarded Elijah's trust. God rewarded Elijah's faithful and fearless obedience to God's truth. But there's another man in the Bible we didn't talk about. He's way back in Genesis. His name's Cain. He's the one who had a brother, Abel. They were Adam and Eve's first two sons. Cain only kept his eyes on the things right in front of him, which he wanted for himself. Cain was overcome with jealousy, and the Bible tells us he killed his brother, Abel. The result was that Cain was driven from God's presence. Each one of us have to choose if we will take a chance on obeying God and keep our eyes on the prize of eternity with God. Psalm chapter 34 has some great words of assurance for us to hold on to. Psalm 34:14 says, "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." These are promises for us. Psalm 34:22, "The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him." Psalm 34:14, "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." That is what Elijah did. And he was rewarded for his faithful obedience. That is what Cain did not do. Cain killed his brother Abel. He became famous as the world's first murderer. Cain did not seek peace and pursue it. The lessons for us is that we need to decide, each one of us, what it is that we want. Because what we want is what we will seek and pursue. What we seek and pursue is what we put our energy and our time and our resources and our heart into getting. I want you to think for a minute about a recent vacation or trip that you took. You made the decision that you were going to go on your trip. You picked the dates, you cleared your calendar, you selected your form of transportation, whether it was driving or flying or taking a train. Maybe you went on a cruise, rode a boat. You considered what your lodging would be, whether you were staying in a hotel, staying with friends and relatives. You made sure that things at home would be cared for in your absence. Your plants would be watered, the grass would be cut, your animals would be taken care of. You thought about what you needed to take with you. You checked the weather forecast so that you had appropriate clothes. You had your phone charger, you have your tickets, you have extra money. And once all those plans were in place, you looked forward to the day. If you had kids, maybe you crossed off dates on the calendar until that day would come. Maybe you double-checked your reservations and made sure that everything is in place and there would not be any surprises, at least none that you could avoid. You wanted this to be the best trip so that you could bring home some wonderful memories. That's what it's like to seek the kingdom of God. That's what it's like to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. If we seek the kingdom of God, we take a chance on obeying God. We seek peace. We pursue it. We put God first in all of the aspects of our lives. That becomes our priority. We read the Bible, we pray, we come to worship, we seek God's presence and approval in all that we do. We seek God's peace and we pursue it. We grab hold of the opportunities to tell people about Jesus. We make absolutely certain that we have everything that we need for our journey ahead. Our journey to eternity with God is a one-way journey. It's not a round-trip ticket. It's a one-way journey, and it leads to heaven. Jesus is our traveling companion and our tour guide. In fact, Jesus himself is our entrance ticket through the gates into heaven. At Christmas, we call Jesus the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace all year long. And as Christ followers, we worship the God of Peace. Our main focus as Jesus' disciples today is to seek God's peace and pursue it, to do whatever needs to be done to grab hold of God's peace. We all need to work to make a living, and those of you who are retired, you remember those days where you had to work to make a living? We can make a living while we're seeking God's peace and pursuing it. However, if our goal becomes only seeking money, we'll pursue money, whatever the cost to ourselves or others or our relationship with God, and they all suffer. It's okay to want to be popular, but if we seek only popularity, then we'll pursue popularity and do whatever it takes to be the center of attention. When all we want is to be the center of attention, then we're not giving glory to God. We're taking it for ourselves. I think the disciples that Jesus was talking to may have been tempted to seek the notoriety for performing the miracles that came with the authority that Jesus gave them to perform miracles. They were able to cast out demons. They were able to heal people. They received all sorts of attention. And that would have been an ego trip worth pursuing. Driving out demons, casting out demons, healing people of sicknesses, that would have gained the disciples a great deal of attention. That would have caused people to look up to them. But Jesus cautioned them, and Jesus cautions us, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The very last book of the Bible, Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, contain what's called the letters to the churches. These were actual letters that were sent to seven actual churches in the day. And the words of those letters would do well for us to reread and pay attention to. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, contains this warning to the church at Ephesus and to us. And I quote, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent. And do the things you did at first. Unquote. Do the things you did at first. Our first love is when we remember and rejoice that our names are written in heaven and we are grateful.
Hallelujah.
The greatest gift that God gives us, each one of us, is that our names are written in heaven. The greatest joy that God gives each one of us is the joy of the knowledge beyond any doubt that Jesus has saved our souls. When Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, the disciples looked for persons of peace who were sympathetic to his message of salvation. They were sympathetic to the message of the disciples. And Jesus told the disciples in Luke chapter 10, and I quote, when you enter a house, first say to the person, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you, unquote. The virtue that the disciples were seeking was peace. They sought peace. They pursued it. Jesus' whole ministry was about pointing people to eternity with God. He wanted people to pursue peace. That's why Jesus was born. That's why Jesus lived and he died. That's why Jesus rose again, so that each one of us can receive and invite Jesus into our hearts and have our names written in the book of life. You and I can take a chance on obeying God. We can take a gamble that cannot lose. When we take a chance on obeying God, we receive a new life that starts on earth and continues into heaven. The church began at Pentecost with the disciples, empowered by the Holy Spirit, telling people about Jesus. The church on earth is still empowered by the Holy Spirit and is still growing because we, as the disciples today, are taking a chance on obeying God. That's why we're here. That's why Leo was baptized. That's why each of us were baptized. Someone told us about Jesus and pointed us to eternal life with God. We chose to accept and to embrace Jesus as our Savior.
Jesus expects us to tell somebody else and point them to eternal life with God through Jesus. Read your Bible. The Old Testament, the New Testament are full of the accounts of people who kept their eyes on the prize of eternity with God. There's some pretty amazing accounts of miracles and victories of God, reasons to celebrate. There are also some pretty harrowing accounts where people's lives were in danger and some suffered greatly for taking a chance on obeying God. They were willing to bear the cross of obedience to God. Everyone who is a disciple of Jesus has a cross of obedience to bear. Everyone suffers in one way or another as we pass through this life. Some of you are suffering now by bearing your cross of obedience for Jesus. Jesus had to bear his cross of obedience. Jesus had to suffer on the cross. We should expect no less. As disciples of Jesus, since we're going to suffer anyway, let's let our suffering be to God's glory and honor. Imagine for a moment, if you consider heaven on this side, and you on this side, the gulf in between is hell. Jesus is the only bridge between this world and heaven. And when we turn our eyes toward Jesus and take a chance on obeying God, we cross with Jesus over that gulf. We just have to make sure we're connected to Jesus. So I invite you, take a chance. Take a chance on obeying God and turning your eyes and your heart and your life toward eternal life with God in heaven. Invite Jesus to be in charge of your priorities, either for the first time or with a resolve to seek peace with God and pursue it. Take a chance. Obey God. Don't postpone making your decision. Step out in faith. Make sure that your feet stand on the solid ground of God's word. Make sure that you have asked Jesus to bridge that gulf between you and God. Don't wait. Tomorrow could be too late. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to make that decision today. Help us to take a chance on obeying you, knowing that life with you is a gamble we cannot lose because you help us to keep our eyes on the prize of eternity with you. Thank you for all of the reasons you give us to celebrate. Thank you that there is nothing that crosses our path that you have not already cleared. Thank you that you walk with us and encourage us, and you keep us as your own. Help us to do our part, and help us to bear our cross of obedience with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.